Breaking news, the Department of Homeland Security has just confirmed to CNN that federal law enforcement agents have raided properties owned by musician and producer Sean Diddy Combs.
They weren't there to find evidence. They were there to destroy evidence, which I know is like high level conspiracy level with the shit. But there's more to this than one evil man.
So
if everybody's at the parties of an evil motherfucking children and shit, there's more. I promise there's more people involved in this than just him.
Yo, so I agree with that, right? And oftentimes, I think what we don't realize is that it's usually not one person trafficking. Like, trafficking
exactly.
is usually a network of...
Traffic
network
takes more than one car. You driving down a highway by yourself is not traffic.
If the idea is that the FBI can be weaponized to protect more powerful people, then why haven't they done it with all of these other powerful people that have been, again, more connected, more influential,
they might
more
have done
important?
It through other...
Bill Gates' name was on the Epstein ledger, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, like, what?
Why you think he ain't here no more?
What are we talking about here? What I'm saying
but
is,
he's
like, they
dead.
They
killed him to
My
death.
Nigga gone. That nigga dead.
They used the prison system to murder Epstein. Like, that's,
okay,
that's
so,
the same
again,
kind of
again,
thing. Like,
again,
you're cherry picking different
again,
kinds of ways
no,
that they can
again,
do this shit.
No,
they can get
again,
it done in all types of ways.
It's a red flag.
I got to listen to this Cowboy Carter shit because I feel like I've been on a country tip the last like 6 months of just like wanting more of that content.
I don't like country at all.
I feel like people in general don't love country, but I've always been like, you know, not like I love it, but country is one of those genres where people are like, if you ask somebody what music do you listen to, they'd be like, oh, I listen to everything, which is a lie. They don't, but they'll say, yes, I listen to everything except country, and everybody says that, and I'm kind of like, no, I mean, like, country is not one of the genres that I'm like, I don't listen to it. Like, I don't like dance music for the most part. But in country, I don't love it. It's not my favorite. But it's like, I could list 10 bangers in country that I fuck with heavy.
I also can't. And my argument with what people that don't really like country say, well, I actually do fuck with country and they listen to, I would argue it's not really country. I would argue that
that's
it's,
also maybe fair.
I would argue that it's a popification of what that is, because there are also historically very distinct things that make something country, similar to how there are historically very distinct things that make something R&B. And I think there are
and
genres
do you like
that are a bit...
the country pop though?
Not really.
Like the things that aren't country. Okay, so you don't like country or its adjacents.
Yeah, like if you ask me, if you put a gun to my head and said name a country song you like, it's gonna be like one Stapleton song. I do like the genre that I would say I like that's most country adjacent is probably indie folk. Like, I do like a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I love.
I like
indie folk.
Yeah, like, I like Tyler Childers and all that kind of shit. Like, so...
Teskey niggas. Yeah, yeah, I like all that kind of shit. Yeah. Anything where that boom stomp shit, the Lumineers, all that shit, where it's stomping and playing a banjo.
Yeah.
I love that kind of
shit. Yeah, same
shit.
Oh, yeah.
Another offshoot that I love is, like, soft country, soft rock kind of shit. Norah Jones, like, Shania Twain type shit. Tracy Chapman.
I wouldn't call Tracy Chapman or Norah Jones
Tracy
country.
Chapman is country. Man.
I want
Tracy Chapman.
That is 100% not. That's 100% not
country.
In my opinion.
She's country.
In my opinion. Like, I think it's a good
I agree that it's not like it's not honky tonk fucking line dance country, but it's country the way Kid Cudi is hip hop. Like, it's part of that genre to where people look at it and go, that's part of that culture. And it has all of the, Tracy Chapman has all of the content of that, both lyrically and musically.
I think it's just alternative. Like I put her in the same category
so
of like early John Mayer. It's no, like alternative is very much a thing. Like, again, like, you hear John Mayer, Room for Squares, and I feel like that same kind of stuff, even,
no,
and even though
shit
I would
that's
say
in alternative that it sounds so far different than Tracy Chapman that and John Mayer, because I'll give you that there's similarity there, that you it's not specific enough to constitute a category to me.
I think when I bring up John Mayer, I think you have an argument to make Tracy Chapman country, but not the argument you just made. It's because John Mayer himself has said that he's tried to do country in the way that I think Beyonce is trying to do country. So
no, that's
like,
that is my argument.
Paradise Valley and all that kind of stuff, which is why I specifically said early John Mayer. But John Mayer has said, like, I'm trying to make country shit.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't describe his early shit as country. And I think Tracy Chapman is more in line with his early stuff than Paradise Valley or, like, you know, Born and Raised.
But
and
still,
like,
alternative
kind of
is not, yeah. But nonetheless, I've been rocking with trying to, because I think she had, like, Beyonce on this latest album, which has made me want to listen to it, has had, like, four other artists on there who are, like, up-and-comers. And one of them, Tanner Adele, I'm a for real fan. Like, she's got, like, four or five bangers that I'm, like, she's, I'm trying to get some cowboy boots and a hat, you know, some honky tonk shit.
I'm about to start line dancing. Yet.
Yeah. I need them. I need to get the Levi's, the Wranglers. Goddamn it, because
I've been line dancing before, man. It was great. It was phenomenal.
You seem like you could cut up a rug for real. Like on
I wasn't doing shit. It was like me and like and like eight niggas, and we basically just like bopped around in a line. We weren't doing the shit, but okay. I have been to a spot where line dancing was a thing.
Because if it wasn't for the white people, I love
more than once, actually.
I mean, you, and I'm assuming this was in Kentucky.
No, it was actually in Florida.
See, now you got to take it back to 08 when, like, you know what I'm saying, you was in like, you know, your room watching YouTube videos trying to learn like the newest Crank That video. That's how it is with country with line dancing.
I agree.
You feel me?
I think you gotta learn parallels.
Yeah, you gotta crank, you know, put on the YouTube, get you and your homeboy, you and your homegirl,
crank
whoever.
That yeehaw.
You know what I'm saying? Crank that yeehaw. Like, you know what I'm saying? Up, dip, up, stiff, 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 and slide.
There we go.
You
know what I mean? Heel toe. Nice.
And speaking of slide, no, niggas, y'all ready to hear this Kendrick and Future? Let me disrespect the GOATs, but Future, Metro Boomin, featuring Kendrick with the scathing verse that everyone has been talking about.
Okay.
Can y'all hear that?
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. And so this was just in response to first person shooter? Is that what it was?
I don't think it's in response directly to first person shooter, because first person shooter was not a diss track. In fact, I think it was more of a
It's just a bragging thing.
Yeah, but I think it was also very they spoke very highly of Kendrick in first person shooter.
It wasn't even cold.
Like Drake never mentioned Kendrick. Like Drake kept Kendrick out his mouth and just said, "Me and you, we're doing this."
Yeah. No, because Cole was very much like with his middle child shit. Like that's one of my favorite or a favorite song of mine of his. He's very like gives flowers to everyone, including himself type of person.
He's the Allen Iverson of rap. Like, you know what I mean? He doesn't hate the next generation.
I don't
generation
know what that means, either. But yeah.
Yeah, Allen Iverson likes everybody, right?
Oh, okay,
He's not Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan would come on.
I was
on
like, he doesn't
like,
have braids, so I'm not. That's all I know. Yeah.
Michael Jordan would say, like, everybody's trash other than, like, Kobe, Iverson, and, like, four other people. You know what I mean? Like, there was a joke that went around that said that Michael Jordan only likes three people. One of them is Iverson, and Michael Jordan has three children. So, Allen Iverson, in direct contrast to that, always is like, oh, my God, like, these new basketball players are phenomenal. They're changing the game. They're saving the game. So I think Cole is very much in that same realm of all of these guys are bringing something new to the table that I think is ultimately good for the culture. So I don't think this is in direct response to first person shooter. I think it's just in direct response to Drake's general bitch assness. And
what did Drake do?
What?
That's a man. I tell you. Well, first of all, before we get into that, let me go ahead and introduce this good old thing, man. Welcome everybody to Waving the Red Flag. The number one dating relationship, no sneak dissing, no 40 water, and no Diddy podcast in the entire world and known parts of the universe. It's your boy Josh. It's Eddie. It's Alvin. Alvin, my brother, that is a magnificent hoodie. Love the red on you. Eddie, that
crimson
haircut. Haircut, hairline, my nigga, on point.
Thank you.
Yes, bitch. Let's go.
We keep the forehead low, baby. Keep it low.
You know what I mean? Yeah, shoot. My nigga raises eyebrows. He goddamn ain't got it. You know, he right up there with a hairline.
Yeah, hey, that's what I'm saying. Just, shh.
I don't know why I want to say chia, but sorry. Them shits had mad, like, low hairlines, but yeah.
They did. They had seeds growing out here. I want to see a chia pet with a shape up. I feel like
me too.
That's
what I was about to say.
You was thinking the same
thing.
That
should be hard.
It would.
A whole lineup, bro. That should be tough.
Do you think we can make a series of those? Like, would people buy that? If we made a bunch of chia pets.
Stop. Now that.
That's an idea? Okay.
This nigga Josh hilarious.
Marketing. Right. That might be a move. We can put that on the website. We got the car game. We got the fresh made chia pet.
This shit's going to sell like goddamn lead balloons, but it's just going to be tough to the motherfucker. It's going to be like if you know type shit, like a limited edition.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, what did Drake do?
So
that he's got such a high level of bitch assness, to put as you put it.
Well, one, I mean, Drake just in generally does that kind of stuff. I mean, look at his rhetoric around Rihanna. Look at his rhetoric around Megan Thee Stallion. Look at his rhetoric around women anyway. But anyway, I think ultimately that's what I'm saying in terms of his general bitch assness. But I do think that Drake brings up, and I think this is the same tactic as the control verse. So I think Kendrick is probably getting ready to drop something. I think he just wanted to drum up hype. When Drake was interviewed talking about the control verse, he was like, yeah, that was a little moment. He's trying to get moments, right? He's not trying to bar somebody up. He's not trying to do this. He's trying to get moments to get people talking, which pushes the culture forward, which I think makes, and I also think it makes rap fun again. So I appreciate Kendrick for doing it, but like, nobody's going to be talking about this fucking verse in 6 months. And to Drake's point, same exercise that Drake did in his most infamous interview on the control verse. How the fuck does the control verse start? Listeners, take 10 seconds.
Of course, no one knows. No one remembers the song.
It fucking exactly.
But the fact that, because I'm not sure if you were saying, are you saying that no one talked about the control verse 6 months later, or are you saying, speaking from Drake's?
I'm saying that this verse nobody will be talking about 6 months later.
Cap.
I'm saying that the control verse was only talked about in small amounts after a certain period, and it was only talked about because of the moment it created and not because of the actual verse itself. Because the verse itself wasn't that good. Just like I think this is a 6 out of 10 verse.
The control verse or the like that verse?
I think the control verse was significantly worse than this one. I think this one was a 6 out of 10 verse.
Okay. All right. See, okay. All right. So let me posit this. So I appreciate that the fact that Kendrick didn't go like all lyrical miracle. I'm going to diss you like Lupe Fiasco with all these double, triple. Well, actually, he fucking did use double and triple and entendres. Thank you. So I was waiting for somebody to be like, da da da. I'm like, oh yeah, good look. But Kendrick literally did what Drake did to Meek Mill, except it was on a feature with making back to back. Because this shit is gonna be in clubs. This is a club record. People gonna be rapping that shit word for word. And then Yes, the fuck niggas already
people,
know the
people still say, is that a world it. Tour or your girls tour? People still say that. You getting bodied by a singing nigga. People still say that shit.
Nobody
knows again. Yeah. How does the control verse start? You don't know. Because And also, like, the fact that you bring up like the lyrical miracle shit is that's how Kendrick approaches diss tracks. He approaches diss tracks like he's doing lyrical miracle shit, and that doesn't work. That's why he doesn't do good diss tracks. When I think of my favorite diss tracks, that's not what they were doing. There was not a triple entendre anywhere in the takeover. Ether didn't have fucking triple entendres and lyrical miracle and all that kind of shit in it. They were just going at niggas' fucking chest. Kendrick doesn't do that. I'm sure he's capable. It's just not how he
talking
raps.
About the like that verse.
Fight back, Josh. Damn.
Yeah. Like the shit. Yeah, I'm talking about
like that verse. He did all like he. For one, you cannot say that this is not a club record. You cannot say in good faith if you have been following the zeitgeist of niggardom online.
First of all, the beat ain't even good. The beat ain't even. It's not even a good song.
You trip.
The bro, beat not even good. Shit. It's
you
a fucking
wild.
Flying Dutchman ass SpongeBob SquarePants ass beat. That's the worst beat on the. That's the worst beat on the shit. That's the fucking worst beat on the whole tape.
Nah, bro, that's some old school West Coast shit. You don't know your you
old
don't
school
know
West Coast rap is kind of tired, bro. Old school West Coast rap is kind of tired.
My brother,
they've been playing beats. They've been playing the same beats since '85, bro. They doing the same G funk like beats, unless they come to the South and get somebody to produce for them on the West Coast since fucking the '80s. Ripping. That shit's fucking tired.
I don't even care for like Metro Boomer's like little segment that he did at the end. I don't personally care for it, but now that beat was tough as fuck, bro. You can't say that's some shit that
I would come up with if I went and sat down and dun, 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 dun. Like that's some fucking middle school playing on the fucking piano the song's gonna be forgotten. We're gonna talk about the moment that the verse created.
Yep.
6 months now, and nobody's gonna know what the fuck he
and
said.
Niggas is still gonna no cap, bro. Cap. Everybody, it's fucked up because that's actually a good album. I was listening to it.
I actually love
yesterday.
The album. I actually love
doing
that
work.
Album.
Yeah, he got some bangers on that motherfucker. I ain't gonna hold you. If you like that type of rap, that nigga Future got one on him. But Kendrick rolled the fuck out of that beat, brought hella energy, had quotables, got double triple entendres, goofies with a check. From Goof Troop, Sadog, for all your dogs getting buried. That's a K with all these nines. AK with all these nines. He gonna see Pet Cemetery.
That was
bruh.
Bruh.
Like riding the fuck out of me.
I will say I liked the vocal aggression. Like I did, like there were moments where he hit parts where I was like, "This feels like fighting words." That was pretty good, and I like the K9 stuff. But you know, for me, it was like it's cool. I'm not a big Kendrick fan, so I am.
I love Kendrick's music. I think Kendrick is a much better rapper than Drake. I think J. Cole is a better rapper than both of them. But I think J. Cole makes worse music, than both K-Dot and Drake. But I think J. Cole is a better rapper. I think K-Dot is a better rapper than both of them. I think Drake makes the best music out of all three of them. I think that's why they fit kind of well in their own respective lanes at the top of that era of rap, right? For like the older millennial kind of generation, I think there's lanes for all of them to not intersect, do their thing, and bring a lot to the game. I am huge fans of all of them. Kendrick is just not a fucking battle rapper. Kendrick could never make Takeover. Drake and his ghostwriters could make Takeover. Cole could make Takeover. Kendrick cannot.
I think he could. Because and this is from an extremely biased point of view. Like, I remember Schoolboy Q, Absol, not J-Rock, but they was talking about, like, yo, y'all, Kendrick is not the person that y'all want to fuck with. This nigga got, like, troves of records, like, just in case. If a nigga, like, tries some, contingency plans. And, like, he was like, yo, like, they are. It's like on some Good Kid, Mad City, but a diss type, you know, like level shit. But Kendrick is an extreme lyricist, like, because we just caught a glimpse of it. Like, he could make a club record. He made Swimming Pools, which is a song about alcoholism. And that shit was a club record, literally telling you not to do the thing that you're doing when enjoying this song.
This whole thing about Kendrick making a club record, I do think that's a side point, but I think it's what I'm willing to explore. I don't think Kendrick has ever made a club record. I think the closest things you could say...
Swimming pools.
I never heard swimming pool outside of a lounge. Like, nobody's dancing to fucking swimming pools. And that was when... And that came out when I was young and, like, in clubs in Atlanta. And, like, I never heard that shit.
Same. And it was playing.
And I will say...
And not even this in Atlanta, but yeah.
Well, and I would say maybe Backseat Freestyle. Maybe that, because it had kind of like a beat that kind of hit kind of hard in like the right circumstances, but I don't think that's his lane.
That's probably the only song I like from him.
Yeah, I think that's fine if that's not your lane, because again, I really like Kendrick's music. I just don't think he's a battle rapper. I think a lot of rappers that like I love Kid Cudi. Kid Cudi's not barring anybody up. Like, that's just not what he does.
I think he could. A Kid Cudi diss track would go crazy if he was just like sad, but also like coming at you.
He just crying. He just
fuck you.
Fuck you.
y'all niggas crazy.
I kill you and then myself.
That's all.
Whoa.
Sometimes.
Bro, that dude was wild, bro. That shit was. And he'll be dissing somebody that like don't even make sense to diss, like that people wouldn't even care about. It'll be like him dissing like Jaden Smith or some shit. Like, it'll be hilarious.
Because Jaden Smith loves Cudi, like, so like his whole vibe is just
it's
like Cudi
and Travis
son
Scott. Kinda. It's like, yeah, it's like,
yeah. That's and Jaden is good. And I'm a fan of Jaden.
I love
Jaden's album.
I love Jaden's last project. Like, I'm just putting that out there. Like, I'm.
What was his last project? Because I haven't listened to him since Sire, but Sire was incredible to me.
I forget what it was, but it had the shit with Cudi on it. That was like the hot track from it.
Yeah, Cudi dissing Jaden would be like when Captain America beat up Punisher, and Punisher was like, "I can't fight back. I can't. You're my idol. I can't fight. I can't punch you back." Yeah, that'd just fuck his whole shit up. Willow is good too. Willow is also an incredible talent. Her last album was crazy.
Yeah.
Curious Furious, crazy track. Yeah.
Never listened to it. But like the stuff that I hear Willow perform, and then like there was this one video that she did when it was kind of like in black and white, when she was kind of like going through like this manic phase and like singing like manically.
Mm.
And she would like be mumbling the words, but you could hear what she was saying.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, sorry, it was like she was going through like a psychotic break.
Which one is that?
It's like, I know. And she was like going up and down.
I think people discredit both of them
alone
because
maybe I think so.
They see them as like Nepo babies, but I think they're both extremely talented. Because I remember reading, I remember reading the Pitchfork review of Jaden's last project. It was very backhanded. They were like, "This isn't good enough for the extreme amount of resources that he has available to him to make a project." And I was like,
"See, what I'm the, on what the
kind
other
of,
side.
What kind of critique is that shit? It wasn't even valid critique." And also, should, and again, I also
you should be better because you're a Smith.
Yeah, is effectively what they were saying. And I was like,
see, because I'm surprised the other direction, because I'm looking like Jaden and Willow, I didn't want to like them, but I've been fucking with them since goddamn PCH driving, like, which is like a 15 years ago, a decade ago.
I thought she was about to say whip my hair.
No, not whip my hair. So like four or five, like once they got into their like teenage sleazebag phase, like when Jaden was dating Kylie Jenner, like around there, they started to find like a musical. They both simultaneously found like a musical voice that I was like, oh, this is that like Cali, like pilly, wavy, go to the beach, surfing. We're just wild and free kind of music. And I was like, they shouldn't be this good. Most Nepo babies, I feel like, don't have the like street grit to make something good. And they both kill it to me. Like Willow on her like girl punk grunge rock shit.
Oh, yeah.
And Jaden on his like. Yeah, and Jaden on his sad boy, like, you know, rap shit. It's like they're both way better than I would have expected, like, Will Smith's, like, rich children to be.
Genuinely talented, for sure.
Because what other Nepo babies are making bangers? I don't know any. Like, T.I.'s son did something, but I'm not. Who's checking for Nepo babies?
Damani. Damani's good.
Damani's good. Is he? Damani's legit.
Yeah, is he good, or is he like, okay, no, you're
he's good. He's good. Okay, no, okay. Like, he just needs he just need a hit, like something to really catch on, and then the floodgates gonna open for him. But yeah, he got a cult fan base. Like he's good.
Yo, speaking of cults though.
Diddy done it.
Diddy done it.
Diddy done it, boy. Diddy done it now.
Nah, the way they was talking about that Raid shit, I was like, okay, he's just done some Weinstein shit. But it turns out he's done some other Steen shit. Like he's on that Epstein shit of like
some whole new Steen shit.
Newstein shit, take that type shit, like on the surveillance cameras and shit. I didn't know that that was part of this thing, that all them Diddy parties were like Illuminati shit, where the, you know, the Hollywood elites were doing Hollywood elite type shit.
Yeah,
and other
like Denzel Washington, man. I forgot I forgot he was talking to. But he was like
Brandon T. Jackson.
It's Brandon T. Jackson, my nigga. Yeah. He was like, yo, leave 30 minutes early before the devil get to them parties.
Yo, I've been to a couple of them type of parties, and shit do get a little bit, like it start off like a regular, like cooling, and then the cocaine start to come out, then the harder shit start to come out, then people start taking off clothes for no reason type of shit, and you're like, okay, this motherfucker's in a leotard, which this is switching into a different type of party, and you gotta be like, all right, let me peace out of here. This nigga's drawing a pentagram with salt on the ground. Let me hop on out of here. What's going on?
See, in my dumb ass, like, right before I seen the pentagram and salt drawn on the floor, I'm like, yo, these niggas in here getting it cracking, bro.
They
getting it in, bro. Shit. Let me
nigga start saying, I'm gonna say, you're like, oh, shit, hold on.
Oh, no, never mind.
It's miserable, oh, no.
Right. What's funny is that I would think that Eddie's curiosity and shit would take over, so he would see that shit.
My curiosity
and be like,
paranoia
like,
is like,
Yeah.
But see, that's the Illuminati.
This is an amazing anthropological opportunity that I can document for my musings and work later.
Now, what I do is I set up I take my phone, turn on the recorder, set it in a corner somewhere, then go the fuck home, and then the next day pick up the evidence, because I'm not trying to, because you don't know what they're eating at night. You might be on the menu. They start looking at you crazy, like, "Hey, Eddie, how's it going? Did we ever tell you how amazing you are? We love your energy.
My wife loves you. My wife loves you.
Right? You think you about to get some cuck pussy, and they done goddamn
first
chopped
of all,
you up was, and Hannibal
time
you
out,
and shit.
Time out. First of all, if somebody came at you like that, the only thing you would say is, thank you, I know, I'm aware. Like, that's what you would say.
But that doesn't mean I'd stay.
It doesn't mean I'd stay.
I agree. I still might say thank you.
Oh, Eddie, your energy is just, your vibes, your aura. You're just
100%.
Just so phenomenal. 100%. He's going to be like, oh, well, why thank you. You know, this is why this is why I do what I do. This is how I carry myself in this way so that you can benefit from the aura. when I walk into
exactly.
the room.
Exactly. So I'm not surprised. I'm not taking it as some big compliment because yeah, I've been new. So I don't want you to steal my shit. My arrogance is never gonna fuck up my paranoia. I'm always 10 steps ahead in that regard.
That's fair. That is fair.
Because I know you want it. I know you see it.
I know you want it. I know you see it. It's crazy. I know you want it. You see how I did? You see these answers?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
You want the essence. Bitch. You see the aura.
You want
no,
it.
No, you cannot have it.
That line from Futurama? It was like, oh, Ben, honey, we love you. Shut up, baby. I know it.
Yeah.
I just see Eddie doing it.
I saw somebody say that the raid was the feds, like, they weren't there to find evidence. They were there to destroy evidence, is what I saw somebody say, which I know is like high level conspiracy level with the shit. But from all the other shit I've seen, it seems like there's something to that. Not maybe exactly that, but something to that. I saw Alvin do it. You know, he exposes Adam's apple to us.
Damn, that was a strong gesture. If he, you know, uncover the Adam's apple.
He did. He was like, ugh.
Oh shit!
Look at it.
I think people are looking for a conspiracy with Diddy when the mundane nature of how these things kind of operates
will suffice.
Explains everything. So he had victims, alleged victims that came forward. There are lots of reasons why victims take their time to come forward. People came forward. That probably gave other people courage and solidarity with that cause to come forward again. The allegations piled up. This prompted investigation. This led to raids. I just want to be very clear. I stand with victims. But if you wanted to take it from a conspiracy perspective, the simplest conspiracy would be he's a rich black man that's important and powerful, and somebody wants to take him down. That's the simplest conspiracy if you wanted to find one. So a lot of the TikToks and shit that have been coming out
I don't think that's in conflict, even weird. Like, I think this, because I think that this is getting interpreted by you and maybe by others as like a, you know, Bill Cosby was trying to buy NBC type shit. And I don't think it's that. Like, I think he can be guilty of more than one thing. I think that Epstein was a child predator and a trafficker, but he also was in cahoots with a bunch of other people who were in that. And so it's not saying that his crimes don't exist. It's saying they're even bigger than the surface level thing. And I think that there's some evidence to say that with Diddy, because a lot of people were at these Diddy parties, and a lot of the video that you see of like the Usher and the Justin Bieber interactions.
Starting to act different, huh? You ain't been calling me and hanging out the way we used to hang out.
Well, I mean, you haven't.
And the Billie Eilish shit and all that stuff. It's like,
it was hard for me being that young and being in the industry and not knowing where to turn and Adam where to, you know, go through anything I went through. I don't wish that upon anybody. So, if she ever needs me, I'm just a call away.
And even with the fucking Quiet on Set shit, it's like there's more to this than one evil man.
So
if everybody's at the parties of an evil motherfucker fucking children and shit, there's more. I promise there's more people involved in this than just him. He may be guilty as well, too, but it's more than that.
Yo, so I agree with that, right? And oftentimes, I think what we don't realize is that it's usually not one person trafficking. Like, trafficking
exactly.
is usually a network of
traffic
network
takes more than one car. You driving down a highway by yourself is not traffic.
But to that point, again, the reason why this doesn't make sense as a conspiracy theory of like the FBI breaking in there to discard evidence, for example, is that Epstein was immensely more powerful than Diddy. And Epstein was going down, despite the fact that he was in cahoots and gallivanting around the world with literally some of the most powerful people in the history of people. Right.
I don't understand this point.
What I'm saying is that if those people weren't adamant about protecting Epstein and making, and again, in the conspiracy realm, they weren't concerned about making him the fall guy for those situations. And then again, if you believe the conspiracy, just killing them in jail, why do you think they'd exercise this power to save a nigga? Like that doesn't make sense.
No, that's not what the argument is. The argument is not that they're trying to save Diddy. The argument is they're trying to save the people that he has evidence on from his surveillance cam footage.
Again, Bill Gates' name was on the Epstein ledger, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, like, what, like, what, like, we, what are we talking, yeah, but, what are we talking
but hold,
about
but hold on.
And why you think he ain't here no more?
What are we talking about here? They did, what I'm saying but is,
he's
like, they
dead. They killed him to
my
death.
Nigga gone. That nigga dead.
They killed not him. Is also a conspiracy.
That's all the evidence.
That's not all the evidence. That's like the least credible evidence. Eyewitness accounts and all that.
Yeah,
kind
but
of
it's
stuff.
Big
he's
evidence,
in court
man.
All the time. No, they have. It's they have literal. Man. What I'm saying is, they have literal stuff where like they probably have comparable evidence to what they'd find in like a Diddy party evidence of somebody. They have pictures of him with somebody. They have a picture of somebody having a drink with Diddy at a party. They have comparable evidence that they had with a substantially more powerful, substantially more tapped in, substantially more influential behind the scenes person, and nobody was raiding his house trying to destroy evidence to protect Bill Gates.
They have pictures of one of the royal prince dudes with very underage girls in like pictures, hands around waist, like sinister energy type shit. Are you saying that there isn't more of that Epstein had that wasn't, you know, admitted, or that they do have that, but it's just not being used, or what?
What I'm saying is they had evidence for Epstein.
Okay.
And again, you could assume that this existed and there was no effort. Again, if you're saying that the conspiracy was to protect these people, the FBI ran in to do that. I'm saying if they were going to exercise that level of power, they would have done it with Epstein and not Diddy. Or at probably best case scenario, both, right? They didn't do that to Epstein. So why would you assume that they would do it for Diddy?
I think the argument is that maybe they did do it with Epstein.
They didn't. Because that's why the motherfucker was in jail. They caught him. Like, he was going to go down.
But they caught him for his crimes. Diddy is also going to jail. It's not like, let's clear it out so that he doesn't go to jail. It's, let's clear it out, clear out all the evidence on other people, then put him in jail. Like, those are different things.
Diddy just ain't in jail yet.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not talking about Diddy's gonna get off in a way that, like, I don't even understand the comparison that you're making with Epstein. Like,
I think the comparison is valid because again, if the idea is that the FBI can be weaponized to protect more powerful people based on that kind of situation, then why haven't they done it with all of these other powerful people that have been, again, more connected, more influential,
loose ends. It's a whole lot of shit that could go into that.
There's so many other avenues. Like, they use the prison system to murder Epstein. Like, that's
okay.
That's
so
the same
kind of thing.
Like,
again,
you're
cherry
picking different
again,
kinds of ways
no,
that they can
again,
do this shit. They
no, but
can get
again,
it done all types of ways.
If that's your method, right? If that's your method, that's the method that you should use. You should use the quietest possible method. You wouldn't run an FBI raid into his house if you were trying to do that kind of shit. You do a covert operation in a prison.
Unless you were trying to do more than just get rid of him, you were also trying to get rid of evidence while prosecuting him. Because the argument is, and same thing for Epstein and them, is that Diddy, Epstein, etc., they're protected because of the evidence they have on other people. If you can execute a raid, get all of the evidence. And again, actually, let me even back up. Because when I said that there's credence to this, I'm not even necessarily saying that it's directly the FBI was used as a tool to clear out evidence. The main thing that I was talking about.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. So let me even not try and argue too strongly for this specific iteration of the argument. The main thing is, this all seems to indicate to me that Diddy is something like an Epstein analog. Sure, he's less powerful. He's not exactly the exact thing, but Diddy is protected to some extent because of dangerous evidence he had on the predatory behaviors of other people, and that he's part of that type of thing. But I don't know what the FBI did or didn't do, but he seems like he's protected in that same boat.
I would say Diddy is probably more protected by the fact that he's shown that he will throw people under the bus and also threaten them with violence. I think it has nothing to do with him like having like pictures or videos or that kind of thing. I think people went to jail trying to protect Diddy, and he let that shit happen. And then he goes on to threaten people by saying, like, you see what I did to so and so, right? You see what I did to so and so, right? You see what I did to so and so, right?
It can
allegedly.
Be both.
I think it, yeah, but I think it's more column A than column B.
I think it can be both.
It can be both. I wouldn't be surprised if it's some level of both. I think it's more column A than column B.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. So focusing on the column B, I think it's a very interesting potential revelation if all of that Hollywood shit was happening at Diddy parties.
I think there was definitely some Hollywood shit happening at Diddy party. Like, even if it's exaggerated, if he's guilty of half the shit that he is being accused of.
prison forever.
He's out of here. Like, I mean, like, he's out of here. Like, got to get him out of here. But I am of the opinion that he definitely does have, allegedly, does have videos and photos of these wild shenanigans he's had going on.
100%.
I don't know if y'all remember back in the day, about 10, 15 years ago, when Diddy and Cassie was together, and Cassie's news leaked online.
Mm.
And, like, she had a picture when she was just, like, on a bed. Like, I think it was, like, some red sheets, and, like, her legs just spread wide open.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she butt-ass naked. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that was, like, one of those nights. You know what I'm saying?
Because
It's like, yo, who's taking this picture? Did you see, like, a flash and shit? Because
Cassie specifically said because I think it was either Cassie, somebody speaking about what Cassie said, and also, like, Diddy's bodyguard, who's been, like, kind of turning to code or whatever, has been saying, like, that Diddy would, during these parties, there'd be a lot of recording happening during these parties. He would be adjusting lighting and adjusting candles was, I think, something somebody said.
Hey, yo,
and it was
crazy.
Like,
yo, we about to get the sexual assault on cameras. take that bad boy, baby.
3-point lighting. It's very, yeah. So I think that there's some element of evidence that people would want to get rid of. And I think that this whole thing is a lot bigger than Diddy. Same thing with the Weinstein shit or the Epstein shit, both of them. Yeah. And something that was really fucking me up looking at these, and we should break in a bit, but, like, was the Bieber shit. It was just, yeah.
Yeah. That was very disturbing. Oh, I mean, like, also, like, the video of Justin Bieber when Diddy was talking to him. Why you don't come around no more, man? Why you don't party with me? Yo, you, man, you I feel like you've been avoiding me. Oh, man, like, no, you just ain't got my number. Oh, you want to have it? I know that nigga ain't want to give him his number.
Nah, super fucking creepy, dog.
But
red flag type behavior.
But it's very much so a red flag. And speaking of them red flags, and guess who is wearing red tonight? So let me tell you a little bit more about it.
Oh,
the
shit.
The good brother, Alvin, I think you got something to tell the good people.
Might he?
Yeah, man. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Epstein did it.
Diddy did it.
We can.
Diddy do it.
We can end the podcast no right there. No, but serious no business. So paying some bills, as Josh would say. Raving the wet. The wed.
Waving the wet flag.
Waving the wet flag.
So we're waving a wet flag.
From a very small business.
From a very small business.
Very small.
It's a point.
When this nigga Josh said that we were a very small business, I lost my shit for real. This nigga emphasized it too.
But you got 10 X's, they're all nuts?
That are all, every single last one of them is crazy. I'm going to have to say, well, it's a bit of a red flag. I'm going to be looking at this person like, I don't know about you. Because I'm not hearing, and this is not to victim shame, because I know it can be a touchy topic.
There's nothing wrong with a little victim shame every now and then.
I mean, hey, whoa.
Every now and then.
I know.
The people like you, Abbas. The people like you. Don't fuck it up.
It's a very small business.
As a treat, you can victim blame every week. You get a little victim blaming as a
just
treat.
A little,
you know?
Just a tinge.
Understand
just
that this is a very small
just
business.
A very, very small business, bro. Like, don't.
Anyway, on our path from a very small business to a medium business, you know, small to medium business. We're still very much very, very small, but trending upward. In a positive up and to the right trajectory, we have a conversation card game, as Edward would call it. Call it's a red flag.
Oh yeah, that is what it's called.
Ooh la la,
that is 100% what it's called. Because Eddie can never fucking remember the name of the card game, so I made sure I had I got like 5 sticky notes up here,
and you still didn't do it.
You know,
but that's cool.
You know, but when you're having a dinner party, when you're having friends over, when you're just having casual conversation in any space with a gathering of people, you can pull a card and it will spark what we hope to be good, entertaining, potentially intellectual conversation. It's usually a good time. We've played it several times here on the show, and I've had a good time every single time we've done it. I find out new stuff about the co-host. I find out new stuff about myself every single time. So we're going to show you how it's done. I got the perfect one picked. It's something that I think will hit home with all of us. So,
shit.
Tell us more.
You know, is it a red flag if they have a podcast?
Honestly,
I'm gonna say 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Yes.
Honestly, it's not a good. It's not a good look.
Are hilarious.
Not anymore.
It's not.
Not anymore.
On the aggregate. Yeah. On the aggregate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's beige at minimum. It's beige at minimum.
Oh yeah. 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 Mm, I'm gonna look. Yeah. If I was a woman and I was dating a man, and at any point in the conversation, if it was anything less than like 6 months, like at 6 months and I maybe know him and he says, cool. But if it's anything more than less than 6 months and he says, oh yeah, by the way, I have a podcast, I'd be like, this is not looking good. This is probably a bad sign. Yeah. What kind of podcast? Oh, you know, just self-improvement. Oh shit. Probably not, you know, just helping men. Oh, like all of that would be like, bad.
It sets you off, like, you know, on the wrong foot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, a little bit, because it's just for one, like, the podcast space has just become extremely saturated.
Yeah.
And goddamn, what was it of, like, us band teacher said to his students one day, was like, you know, back in my day, everybody wanted to start a band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you niggas just start podcasts. You know,
100%, 100%. And it's like, now, honestly, being in a band is probably a red flag too. But like being like having a podcast, it's like nine as a man specifically. I think if a woman had a podcast, that's also still a red flag, but just at a slightly lower level. Like I would say, because realistically, I would say 7 out of 10 male podcasts are a bad.
Yes.
Like not low quality, morally bad.
Yes, I would agree.
7 out of 10?
I would agree.
7 out of 10. 7 out of 10.
I would agree.
That'd be where I put it. It's definitely not 50-50.
All of them. Are we like in the 3 percentile?
The 30, but yeah.
Or the 30%.
I think I'm good.
You know, I do.
Yeah.
I don't know, Eddie. I think
you're the worst
one.
Oh, just you.
I think you're the worst
one. Might be. Alvin, you definitely the worst one, but, you know.
That's 100% true. I'm definitely going to get crucified by saying I don't know anything about rap because I said Kendrick's verse was mid. I'm gonna get several DMs about that.
It's a lot of niggas that's gonna ride with you on that too, because okay. I've been hearing, oh my god, the Kendrick verse wasn't even all that. This is no Nas, this is no Ether. It wasn't, but so you know, you got niggas in your corner too, so you know, you ain't alone.
I will say though, for women, because I've you know, been on a date or two or whatever with a woman who had like a blog, you know, back in the day, had like a blog.
Weird flex, but okay, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't popular. They weren't popular. She was mostly writing to herself. She wasn't successful yet.
It was a passion project.
Yeah, it was a passion project. She wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't fucking those celebs. But like, who had a blog or a Substack or a podcast? And to me, that's also a little bit of a red flag. Like, because you know what I saw on a dating on her profile, she was like, I have a insert. Blog, podcast, something like that. So if we go out, you might end up on it. I was like, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. Because I don't know what your energy is, but I feel like a lot of like the whole cast can be very like invasive, dismissive, combative type shit. And it's just not healthy. It's not healthy to forming an actual relationship because you're viewing shit as potential content. So
yeah, right.
I would say half of women podcasts are also morally bad.
That's a strong take. That's a strong take. And you're going
to say less?
You might. No. Not on like the morally bad thing, but just as far as like content wise, like from like a potential relationship or dating, that sort of thing. Because like we've all talked about like our dating lives in some regard, but
yeah,
we try 100%. To be respectful and not. Ain't nobody ever say no names to give away like no information that could like lead to, oh, you talking about such and such, for even like people that we know.
And I put like a year statute of limitations on my shit I talk about it on the pod. So
Right, exactly.
We'll encourage things.
But if you put like, if a woman is like, yeah, I'm on Hinge and like our date might be on my TikTok, it's like, that's
a lot. Yeah, nah.
That's a red flag to me. Yeah, that's weirdo that shit. Darn.
Yeah, so, that's super weird.
Red flag. Hated it. Yeah, when you were talking about Taylor Swift, all the time I was just thinking with that episode, hated it.
Taylor Swift is doing the swag surf right now. That's all we care about.
I hated it.
for that because it's like, oh my God, you bringing such mayonnaise to the culture. It's like, it does not sit right with me when I see such uncoordinated, stiff ass swag surfing. I hate it.
Hated it.
Men on film was brilliant. Gotcha. Oh,
man. Genius fucking concept. I think it could be redone now. I think it could work. I think it's such a funny fucking concept, but I think if it's done with respect and like welcomingness, I feel like it would be funny.
And by actual like queer writers.
Some actual gay motherfuckers, yeah. I think it would actually
Actual gay people actually, for sure.
Yeah.
But that was also part of the like the comedy was like it was straight men.
People
who were assumed to be straight. Yeah.
Because I think Damien, is it Damien?
It was Damien.
Damon and who was the other guy? David Allen.
David Allen Greer.
Them two, I would want to see them reprise those roles. So obviously they're not gay, but having some queer writers on the staff I think would be good. But
I don't even think they would do it. I saw David Allen Greer on the Breakfast Club like a couple weeks ago. Like he's not done because you know he did like the Mystery of the Magical Niggas.
I don't really understand.
It's easier said.
God, terrible choice, man. I remember. Yeah, fuck, he was in that movie as
but have you seen the
Dumb Nickledore? No, I haven't. But you know,
okay. I haven't either, and I don't plan on it. Not anytime soon, but maybe one day I'll watch it.
Yeah.
It might not be as bad as we thought it was, but he definitely was like, yo, nah, this ain't on some they clone Tyrone type shit. We getting along with these crackers, you know what I'm saying? We trying to preserve our safety by making these white people happy. He stood on that, but you know, there might be some more context we're missing. The love interest isn't white, if that makes you feel any better.
In what?
In the Magical Society of Historical.
She's Asian, man. That's like white with a windshield factor on it. Like it's still like.
Oh
yeah,
no,
okay,
Mr. Kim Kardashian ain't white.
No, I'm not saying. No, okay. No.
This came up because Kanye West.
Get out of here, bro. Get out what? Of here, bro. Kim Kardashian absolutely has white privilege. Bro.
She has rich privilege. Man, she has pretty privilege. She has celebrity privilege. She does not have no type of white privilege, bro.
Nah, bro. Nah.
She got as much white privilege as Will Smith.
Nigga, get out of here, bro. Nah.
Bro, get, nah hell nah, nigga.
Don't do that.
Please. Dude, please.
Nah,
get into it.
Nah, cuz. Her and her sisters all look white enough to have white privilege. They look like a special kind, like a subset of white, like you say, like
a dark Armenian, white, like sure. Russian, Indo-European.
Still
is kind of
like
the Indo.
Like,
what is Indo-European? That shit ain't
it's
white.
It's kind of Asian. It's kind of Asian.
That's Asian. You know? Indo-European ain't white.
Bro, okay, so okay, let me break something down to you about America because like niggas don't think about race that deeply
Okay, go ahead.
Look at him. That nigga sold out for content on the Kim Kardashian one. That nigga wasn't talking about his true feelings. That nigga Kim Kardashian really
paid me for that. They did. That was all Julia Fox slander. That whole take was just me trying to get them back in our folks' good graces. No, look, I'm not saying that she's white. Sure, she's Asian, but she's non-black. Which is really the same thing. She's a non-black, fair-skinned person.
Yeah, that's the whole conversation. The conversation was never that the conversation was never that she was white. It's to Eddie's point. It's the fact that she was not black.
Well, she's close too, because there's non-black people that would be less bad than a half-white Asian woman. Because like it's not about whether or not this person is culturally white. It's about how. I'm trying to not fuck my own shit up, but it's about how black men who are specifically looking to date that view that woman socially. And if you're going, that is a way for me to get as close to these concepts of hyper femininity or whiteness or status or whatever, it don't matter if that she's Asian. The fact that you're looking at that is, you know,
yeah,
that's the problem. And we know what's up, man. Come on, man. We know why Gambino has that obsession with Asian. Like we know what's up. Don't play dumb.
I agree with you so much, and that's a rarity.
You literally agree. You agree with me every episode, and you always say that shit. We got to cut together a clip of you being like, I can't believe we agreed. And it's
you know what? This is a rare moment.
This is only a snapshot of our lives, Edward. So I don't know.
That's
what
true.
You're talking
we do
about.
Disagree a lot off camera. You're right. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. I mean, what's the smart version of Beavis and Butthead?
Rick and Morty. I don't see
Yeah, me and Eddie is Beavis
and
Butthead.
The smart version of Beavis and Butthead is Rick and Morty. The smart version.
Yeah, fair.
Deezus and Dickhead, I guess. I don't know.
Homeboy's not his face or some shit. I don't know. Like, we can figure this out. We can figure this out.
I forgot. Me and Eddie is Beavis and Butthead, but yeah, we gotta come up with a...
We got to figure out duos for each of us.
Tom and Jerry. That's who you niggas is.
Oh, me and him are Tom and Jerry. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Goddamn.
So, he do look a little bit like Jerry, if I'm being honest. He reminds me of somebody.
So me and Josh already have ours. We're Rory and Maul. Okay. That's our
Okay.
That's our dichotomy.
Okay, gotcha. We got Rory and Maul, Beavis and Butthead, and Tom and Jerry. Okay. Yeah. That's a good little something. It's a good little something.
You know what I'm saying? And they always find a way to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
No Diddy.
Life is unfair. Oh, sorry, speaking of. You're the boss of me now.
Man, I used to fuck with Frankie Muniz. It's tough, bro. Malcolm in the Middle.
It's so much like, and I'm not gonna hold y'all, but we were watching that shit, me and some friends, maybe like 2 weeks ago, and it is so much better as an adult. Like that show holds up tremendously well.
Yeah.
It is so much better.
That's a real achievement because it was like, at the time, it was like a children's show.
Yes.
But like, it's also an adult show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It aged well with us. Like, it aged with us phenomenally.
Yeah.
Because
they had boys at every age.
How they did. But even like, I think.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston, the dad's like dichotomy and his life was also extremely interesting, and it's only gotten more interesting now that I'm like older.
He was hilarious. I mean, like, all of them really just fucking brought their A game. Like, the mom was hilarious. Bryan Cranston, because of the mom's presence in that role, Bryan Cranston was able to be like so goofy and so like to bounce off of her. But the whole interaction with the kids, do it smart as fuck, turn out to be extremely smart. Yeah, great show. If you have not watched Malcolm in the Middle or have not seen it in a while, do yourself a favor. Go check that out. We are not being paid to say that.
No.
Not yet.
Oh, man. This goddamn Tyler, the Creator thing, bro, was so goddamn...
I just seen that shit, bro. Like, that may deserve its whole episode. That and...
That and Eric Adams may
deserve their own... May deserve their own episodes.
Oh, holy shit.
Oh, my fucking God, bro.
Awful.
Wait, let me hold on.
I got it pulled up. I got it.
Because I'm...
Bro, all right, come on. Let's go. Let me give you some quick context. Gerard Carmichael told Tyler, the Creator, that he had feelings for him.
Oh.
And yes.
Okay.
Yes. This nigga Gerard Carmichael said, we haven't really been talking like that since I said I have feelings for you. Mm. You kind of ghosted me. We didn't talk about it. Like, it was super weird. And for some reason, Gerard Carmichael had the bright idea to set up this whole little fucking thing. And him and Tyler, the Creator, are talking about it for the very first time since he expressed his feelings for him. And this is Tyler's response.
I didn't think brushing that off and continuing regular would be such a dent. I don't know. What would have been the ideal response?
I don't know, to talk. I don't know, talk about it the next day. Call me, like look at me and bring it up and fucking move on and fucking go to Burgers and say that. I don't know. This, I think. I don't know. Like... more than you can feel yourself like not answering though, right? Like,
I don't really know what you want me to answer.
Like, you've only given me the hell.
Are you wanting the same thing for me? When you told me that, I'm like, no, not like that. Like, that's like a brother. That man's like family. Like, truly like family.
Like family. Big brother.
Oh, that's right. You were the goat.
Couldn't mail the card in. Okay, this is for Taco.
What is this? Like, what thing is this?
I don't know. It's like a documentary, but I don't understand it. And then they like, yo, I told you I had feelings for you, da da da. And this is just how it unfolded.
I wasn't implying I wanted it. I know I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
I'm big straight.
It's so odd. Like, this should not have been filmed. Just see this man dying. Yes, bro.
What are you
seeking?
Because it's giving Nathan for you vibes to me.
Okay.
This is going to be a fart in like 30 seconds. I'm lit.
Okay.
I just don't want to kill us.
No, because this is like funny. This seems like Gerard Carmichael's like.
Then he goes outside and farts.
Didn't want the light to shift.
Oh. That nigga farted in the closet, bro.
Sorry, dog. You straight.
That was an enclosed space with people in it, like with the equipment, bro.
It was a baby one anyway. He good.
Yeah, this is comedy. Like,
I'm one of, you know, my few people in my circle that love Rothaniel. It does place me in Rothaniel's space.
This is his comedic directorial style. Like, this is this is Bo Burnham, like
post Carmichael show style. Yeah, post Carmichael show. This is 100% like what he would do with, like, performance art comedy. Yeah,
yeah,
really.
It to me, it does not seem like a real moment at all. Like, it seems 100% like a performance artist, Kaufman-esque comedy style thing. Because, to get Tyler in that room, to get everybody there, to have that moment. Because then it's not like raw leaked footage. And it wasn't just let's set up the thing. They edited it together after the fact to go from Tyler saying some wild shit to Carmichael's very serious face. Like, it seems like a comedy style to me.
I hope so, because like that was, and that makes me feel better. Like the fact that it could possibly be just scripted, not real. Maybe not even scripted, but just not real.
Yeah, like it could be real. Because, like, that really was a thing, and they were like, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny if we talked about this?" Like, in a kind of like it could be real and script.
It could be a manufactured moment where they're discussing something that really happened potentially.
Exactly.
But see, that's
neither one of them likes black men. So that's also what makes me think that this is fake.
But see, that's the thing though, because I can definitely see Gerard Carmichael like going after Tyler the Creator.
I can see.
But I can also very much see that I mean, Tyler's response is very much so Tyler the Creator. Like, I don't know if that was real, and I'm hoping it's not, because that was god awful.
It was bullshit if it was real. It was it was a horrible response in that moment. For somebody that you're calling a close friend / brother, assuming it is real.
I disagree. I think that if anything, Carmichael's response was the one that was inappropriate.
I don't think
the camera shouldn't have been there.
That too.
Well, Josh, with the
why would you do that to yourself?
Good job, Josh, because you're correct. We got down to the root cause of it, and Josh is correct. Like,
I think there's this very like gentle way of ignoring somebody's boundaries that people do. That it felt like Carmichael was, again, I didn't view it as like really problematic, because the whole thing seemed like it was a Nathan For You manufactured kind of absurdist performance art thing where Carmichael is being specifically intentionally awkward for the camera. But if you say to someone, "Hey, I have feelings for you," then they ghost you and you say, "Hey, I'd like to talk about it in this way." And they go, "Okay, cool. Well, you know, I'm kind of not really feeling it, you know. I don't know what you want me to say." And he's like, "Fuck, I want you to say something." That to me feels like you're trying to pressure this person to return the feelings. They've already communicated to you in like 5 different ways they're not interested. So what is there to talk about? And I feel like Carmichael wasn't he wasn't taking the no for an answer. And the no was screamed at him to me. If I was talking to a woman and she gave me any of Tyler's energy, I'd be like, I'm being a fucking creep right now.
Tyler the Creator said, "I'm big straight on that."
Exactly.
Like, as a metaphor for the food, like, "Oh, I'm straight on that. I'm straight on that. I'm big straight."
Yeah.
I'm basically heterosexual when it comes to you.
Yeah. But, gee. So, like, I get what you're saying, Eddie, and I don't disagree that, again, assuming that the manufacturer moment has some tinges of, or even let's just say it's two characters, right? Let's just say it's two people playing a character. In that moment, I think the signals were clear that Tyler didn't want what Gerard Carmichael wanted in that sense. Yes, 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
I also think that if you're having that conversation with somebody that you care about and you want to preserve their feelings and you want to preserve them, that you approach that in a certain way that I don't think Tyler or the character of Tyler in this potential skit did.
Yeah.
So I think two things can be to steal here.
I'll give you that.
I think two things can be right at once. So yeah. I think that the way he handled that from that perspective was very juvenile. I would have I can't say I would have done any better if I were younger, but I would say old man Alvin would have navigated that with a little bit more tact and a little bit more respect for the relationship.
You know what? I'll maybe even dial it back, because I don't think that acknowledges how these are not symmetrical pressures. When someone tells you, and I'm using, you know, hyperbolic language here, but when someone tells you, hey, I'd like to fuck you, that is you going yes or no is not symmetrical to the situation they've created. And I think if I'm talking to my female friend and I say, hey, I have sexual and romantic feelings towards you, and she responds with any level of awkwardness, reservedness, standoffishness, pullback, it's more my responsibility as someone in the friendship than her responsibility to manage that and be like, hey, I understand based off your response that you're not feeling it. That's cool. I'd like to still be friends, and I can make this work. It's not an issue for me. Let's grab drinks. It's not. I think that falls on me, not her. And in this situation, Tyler is that person. I think it's on Gerard to bring it back out of that energy and settle Tyler into it's okay. We don't have to pursue that. Not Tyler's. So I think I'm flipping back. I disagree.
No, but I think that's different. I think what you're saying has completely different connotations than I am in love with you. I think that when somebody's in love,
I'm in love with you is crazy. That's worse. If I'm understanding what you just said.
No. What I'm saying is that I want to fuck you is like something that's a lot more easy to tame, and like you be in a rational state, like dealing with, versus like I have these chemical feelings of love and how that impacts me and how I could be sad, how I could be in a very depressed state based on that kind of stuff. So I'm not saying that I expect Tyler to like baby him. I'm just saying I expect him not to be in that conversation making fart jokes. Like, oh, I gotta go fart.
Okay,
That's effectively what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying if somebody's pouring their heart out to me, I'm not saying that I'm gonna like go out of my way to make it not awkward for them. I'm not saying I'm not gonna go out of my way to do. I'm saying that I'm gonna respond like I would respond to a friend that's in a state of potential crisis, potential downness, that's sad, and I'm gonna handle that. Nah, and I'm gonna handle that not like a 10-year-old.
I have to put a little bit more onus on Gerard Carmichael because he has effectively done this to himself in two ways. One, you set up a whole entire production to have a private conversation very publicly, recorded it, edited it, put it out to the world. So I get why you say it, this might not be real, at least not as real as we're thinking it is. Like, this is the first time they've had this conversation. I get that. Two, you got to think about your audience, and especially a motherfucker that you like. This is Tyler, the Creator, that we're talking about. That was extremely on brand for him, even as uncomfortable as that situation.
That's the nigga that you love. See. That's the nigga that you love. So
you picked the right and wrong nigga that night, goddammit, to do that shit with. Because for one, like, what if, because I could see, like, Tyler's uncomfortable with that because he was very uncomfortable with it because, like, oh, damn, like,
as
I really
ever
love
right
this person
to be.
I love this person as a brother. This is like family to me.
And you're coming
but
on to
you
me.
You expressed feelings for me and like, whoa, no, I never even thought about us like that. So like, how does that change the dynamic of our relationship? It's not so easy for me to discuss my feelings or my lack thereof for you. And then just to go back to normal and just go get burgers the next day. So, and then like, just some people have off defense mechanisms where you might have like a Tyler the Creator that just starts making extremely inappropriate jokes or might try to turn you off from them.
Yeah, because the fart didn't come out of nowhere. You know, that's a great fucking point. I mean, the fart didn't come out of nowhere. It can't.
It was comic relief. It was like Conway Twitty from Family Guy. It was like,
there's a raccoon up here.
Yikes. Looks like I need a distraction. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty.
It was comic relief on the other.
That fart is coming.
It was comic relief on the other end of sustained emotional pressure. Like any woman that's listening to this podcast right now, because this is not a situation that most men experience, but any woman who's listening to this podcast who has had a boy best friend say, not I want to fuck you, but hey, I think I have feelings for you. In that situation, tell me that you didn't have, assuming that you didn't reciprocate the feelings, end up in a situation where you were awkwardly having to manage the emotions of someone who had made you feel uncomfortable. And I think that's what this situation is. And maybe I could agree that the fart joke by itself isn't that, but like, what did Gerard want him to say? He said, I don't feel those feelings and I love you as a brother. So now what? And you keep pushing it. So then you get a fart joke, dog.
And
so you're being a fucking weirdo.
He just kept dying in the seat. Like,
yeah. Like, handle yourself, dog. It's
getting
like
up, walking around.
And again, acting like Tyler did something to him when he's making Tyler uncomfortable.
So I've been in this situation where like that has happened to me with female friends.
Same.
I've been in that situation where like I've had to navigate where it was me and a friend mutually, and we just decided not to pursue that based on where we were in life, right? So I know that when you have those conversations, again, you can be extremely emotional. And I'm not saying that Tyler should accept some sort of blame or onus or ownership, but I'm saying that if I see somebody in emotional distress, I'm going to respond to that in a way that I think a friend should, which is provide some level of comfort. And I think
when you provide comfort, it's like I would have said
something to the effect of, look, man, I know this can be difficult for you. Like, I've had situations just like this. Like, I'm here for you. You're my brother. Like, I'm not going nowhere. Like, if you need me to take a step back and we have this conversation tomorrow over drinks, like, I'm open to that. But I think right now we need to relax, because I don't have those feelings for you. Like, I love you in a way that will never go beyond a situation where we're brothers, where we're best friends, where we're people that can laugh and kick it. I would like that to continue. And whatever I can do to make you comfortable in that without compromising those very set boundaries and lines, I'm willing to do. Because again,
I think what
you're going to say is that, oh, Tyler did that, but he didn't.
Yes.
Again,
that's exactly what I was going to say.
He showcased that he wasn't interested, but again, connotations and words mean things. He basically showed what I just said. Because again, he sat down, he had a meal.
In a much more abrupt and abrasive
way. I think
that
you have to give people a little bit more credence to, like, read the fucking room. Because you're asking a lot of a person to say, yo, I don't want, like, you shouldn't ask people to do that. If someone gives you that in any kind of implication, go cool. And then, because Tyler did reassure him, he was like, yo, you're like family to me. He wasn't like, yo, you're nobody to me, whatever, we don't need to have this conversation. He was like, look, in the gentlest, most clearest way possible, I'm not interested, you're my brother. So he didn't say it with all the same fancy technical therapeutic words that you did, but he expressed all of those thoughts in a way that I think that someone who's your best friend should be able to read.
But I think, again, similar to the point that I made where words mean things, I think on some level, that's what that requires. I think on some level, when people express themselves in that kind of way, like, that's what's needed in some relationships to preserve some relationships. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying Tyler's the devil. I'm not saying he should take onus for how Gerard, a grown man, fucking feels in that situation.
I'm saying Gerard should have done differently more than Tyler.
And I agree he should have done differently. But again, if somebody's in love with you, bro, like, their responses are not gonna be the logical responses that we're talking about. So there's
why
one
are
person,
we taking all of this onus off of a person because they're the ones who feel
I'm not I'm not taking all, like, I'm not taking all the onus off of that person. What I'm saying is, if you're in a friendship, sometimes you have to be willing to get with somebody and take them through, like, their illogical stances. That's how you preserve friendships. I do that shit all the time. Eddie, you do that with me all the time. Josh, you do that with both of us all the time. Yeah. We navigate each other's illogical stances to preserve friendship. You know, and that's all
I'm not saying that Tyler couldn't have done that better. And I'm not saying that I maybe wouldn't have navigated, because I've never had a woman press me like that. I've had a woman express feelings and I wasn't, but when,
that's cat.
A woman that I, there's different kinds, because there's the one where it's like you're with someone and you are with them sexually, and then it transitions away from that and they express feelings. I've had a woman press me in that situation, but I've never had a woman who was friends, who wanted to be more than that, who I said no to, press me. Yeah, I've never had that situation.
I have, and it's uncomfortable.
Okay.
It's not an easy conversation to have. I wasn't as bad as Tyler out of nowhere, like, you know what I'm saying?
But
that's the thing that I have learned, especially while being around, like, other men who are very good at having conversations and navigating those conversations in a much more clear-cut, positive, healthy manner, to where you're not just being so aloof and, like, my actions are telling you, oh, I don't fuck with you like that. But it's just like, that's something that you kind of mature into as you grow older, or should mature into. Because, like, Alvin Gaye literally gave a nigga all the motherfucking words that he could say if he were to ever be confronted in that situation, of a clear-cut, good, communicative way to say, hey, I don't have those feelings for you, but I do have feelings for you, like, platonically. Like,
awesome,
but it wouldn't work out like that for us. And that's a difficult spot to be in. And with that being said, because we got to get out of here, good people, If you're seeing Diddy hosting a party and it's been 30 minutes after the devil was supposed to show up,
oh, shit.
Then you're probably seeing a red flag. But on the other hand, goddammit, if you set up cameras to talk to a potential lover for the first time after you confess your unrequited feelings to show the world, it's probably you that's waving a red flag. Good people, ladies and gentlemen, chickens, dogs, ducks, cats, everybody in between. Everybody in the whole world, solar system, it's been Waving a Red Flag Podcast. It's your boys, Josh, Eddie, Alvin. Please be sure to like, comment, subscribe. Check us out. Subscribe to the Patreon. It is on our community channels. It's on YouTube, Spotify, basically anywhere where you can, like, you know, check out a podcast, whether that be from video to audio. Make sure you do check in, clock in with the boys. Some of you guys are new. Thank you so much for subscribing and being here. And am I missing anything?
Got that guard card game. That's it.
Oh, absolutely. Goddamn-lutely.
Ding, ding.
And that's a red flag that I forgot to actually add that at the end.
That is. It's could be. It's
good people. It's been your boys. We'll see y'all next week.